Welcome to Mob Mentality, and this is the show where we discuss all things Agile from a mob programming perspective. We're your hosts, I'm Austin Chadwick, and this is...
Chris Lucian, how you doing?
And for our very first series of episodes, we're going to be talking about all the mob programming roles that people take on in a healthy team. And to help kick us off, Chris, what would you say is the inspiration for this being the first episode of our series of episodes?
Yeah, so I've been mob programming for about 7 years now, and when we started mobbing, we did it organically, and so it was essentially, we had one of our developers ask for help, and all of us were essentially siloed. We had everybody in cubicles and working on their own thing. We were doing Kanban, we were not pair programming, but we were also not doing software estimation at that time. And in that, we essentially, this developer came and asked for help on a deadline that they knew was a kind of hard deadline. It was a tax deadline. They knew that they wouldn't be finished by then, or they expected not to be. And so they asked for help, and we got together, and we started working in the conference room, and that's what eventually became mob programming. But we never initially called it mob programming, right? What had happened there is we had a training on test-driven development that was brought in from Llewellyn Falco, and he said, why are you doing this? You know, how have you been working this way? This is great. Maybe you should name it. And so we as a team started kicking around ideas like pair programming plus and other things. And we eventually settled on mob programming. And that was kind of the first instance of what I had heard of as being the archivist role. The anthropologist role.
Yes.
And in the anthropologist role, it's kind of this idea of in a mob to record good things that have been happening and then go and talk about them and explain them to others and things along those lines. And so this show, I think for right now, we've been talking about going through the items from the mob programming RPG. And the roles in the mob programming RPG came from a discussion that I had with Willem Larson, and he had this framework for this RPG and basically started creating the game around things that we ended up talking about. And so one of the original members of the mob programming team had started doing had been mentioning to Willem some additional roles that he had never heard of, because I think we talk about the driver and the navigator in a mob, but we don't really talk about maybe navigating the navigator or the researcher role and things along those lines. And so at times I've had people come to me and ask, you know, what are all the other people doing on a mob if you have a driver and a navigator? Is it the driver and the navigator and the watcher, or the driver and the watchers? And, you know, that's obviously not what makes mob programming effective, but it's counterintuitive for people hearing about it for the first time. And so that ended up also generating the mob programming RPG and all the different roles that we had in there. And so what I wanted to talk about as the first few episodes of the show is the different roles, and maybe talk about our experiences in those roles, and so, you know, pointing out when something's new and we haven't really talked about it yet. That's like what Llewellyn did, and that's kind of how we ended up saying let's name mob programming, and then same thing for Willem, and now what we're doing here for the show, and so thanks to you, Austin, we're moving forward on something like this, and I think it'll be very beneficial to the community at large.
Right on. So I guess to officially use our Kanban board behind us, we're going to take the new role in the mob programming RPG game, the anthropologist, and put that in progress. So we've basically been already talking about it, but making, you know, naming mob programming, making the mob programming RPG game where you highlight the different roles, you're taking on the anthropologist role, essentially. And other things that come to mind are... you know, speaking at conferences, or if your company does something where they do lightning talks internally, you know, I've seen a lot of benefit from other mobbers in other teams sharing things that they've learned from their mob, from their tech stack, from their processes and those kind of things. So they share those in lightning talks. And it doesn't even have to be a formal presentation. We've even been part of open spaces, kind of internal open spaces, to share information about, you know, some people have gathered about how we work, what works well for us, what doesn't work well for us. I think another one that comes to mind, Chris, is the some people put a retro in the mob timer. And I feel like anthropologists kind of played a part in that as well, because for a while it was only one mob doing this, and then it somehow spread around, right?
Yeah, so this was pretty interesting, because one thing that we did during a department meeting was essentially say what practices in your mob is really helping, because as we scaled the team, so about 3 years ago, we went from one mob to essentially eight mobs now. And in that scaling, we realized that there was even subcultures forming within the mobs because our experimentation process is so frequent. And so that practice of retros within the timer actually propagated throughout the group. And that happened by saying, hey, can everybody talk about a practice that your mob is doing that you don't think any other mob is doing now, and talk to the whole department about why you think it's beneficial for your team, for your mob.
Yeah.
And that has now kind of become a common thing that we do, is we just say, hey, let's announce that and let's, you know, chart it out. So that's a great example, I think, of that role.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been so many times where someone's shared that, and either in a lightning talk or something, where I get excited about it and want to try out what someone else has been doing. And so that's been definitely beneficial. All right, so anything else to add to the anthropologist before moving on to the most well-known roles and then maybe the lesser known?
Yeah. Sounds good. I'm ready to do that.
All right. So let's pick up that driver. That's what most people think of.
Yeah.
So what jumps out to you for the driver, Chris?
Okay. So I think the thing I love about explicitly separating this role out is that this is the person not coming up with the solution, but the person entering the solution after the code's verbalized. And so I think one thing that we charted as a group, as a kind of requirement, is that all code must be verbalized. And so that means that code needs to be interpreted by someone and then typed into the keyboard. And that's what that driver role is. How about you? What stands out to you?
Absolutely. And it's not only what jumps out to me almost always immediately is something that the early mobbers coined, which was the smart input device, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just someone who's blindly typing, but, you know, he can really translate something high level as a driver has grown in skill. So I've really experienced this firsthand when I'm mobbing recently, where I came in as a driver not knowing the language that well. And so they would navigate to me at a low level, and it really helped me learn the language quickly. But as I got better and better, they could navigate at a higher and higher level, which makes it made me more of a smart input device, I guess, less dumb input device. So they could say more things like, hey, let's create a module here that uses this other module, and I could start typing. When before it was like, curly brace, enter, and they would tell me the exact characters to type. And it's a great place to learn from others and share with others, keyboard shortcuts.
Yep.
Even if you mob day in and day out, there's still keyboard shortcuts I learned from others. And
yeah.
So, yeah, it just really grows that skill. Yeah.
There's another important piece of that, and it's in the mob programming RPG, they say it really well. It's ignore a instruction from somebody who's not the navigator.
Right. Yeah.
And so this person in the driver role is somebody that is filtering down all of the talking down to a single thing that you might type. That's
right.
A really important aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you might see yourself as a driver purely as a functional, let me help get this thing done. But it's really a great role to learn too. I picked up a new language, and driving was a big help to that. So it's all around a great role, but definitely not all of mob programming, right?
Yeah.
It's not the driver and the watchers, as we'll see. Anything to add before jumping to the next role?
I think that's it. Maybe we'll head over to the next one.
So it's hard to be the driver without talking about the navigator. We already started talking about it a little bit. And for me, the first thing that comes to mind is a Llewellyn Falco quote. We've already mentioned him a few times already. For an idea to get into the code, from your head into the code, it has to go through someone else's hands. And so what was the analogy that you said the other day? It was like, the team is the bucket, the navigator is the funnel? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think the driver is the funnel maybe, but the navigator, well, so yes, the if the team is the bucket, the navigator is the funnel. I don't know if I was the one who said that, but I have heard that analogy passed around. Yeah.
Okay. So the navigator is funneling the ideas of everyone in the mob.
Yeah.
And translating that down to, okay, driver, let's do A, B, and C. You know?
Yeah. And I think a big thing here is that the navigator is, it's really important for them to understand each of the drivers they work with. And so I think one thing that people don't really realize is that, or at least say out loud, is that your navigator and your driver could end up being at different skill levels. And so the goal of the navigator and learning the navigator role is to increase the level of the abstraction that you can speak at as frequently as possible, while not going outside of the skill level of the driver. The driver should be trying to interpret or letting the navigator know when to speak at a higher level of abstraction. So if I say, hey Austin, please type in a curly brace in a new line, when you know that how to write the strategy pattern, and I could say, hey Austin, implement the strategy pattern for these two protocols, and you could write a whole bunch of code without any further input, right?
Yeah.
And so a big portion of the navigator driver relationship that I think is not explicitly stated is that the navigator and the driver should be working together to increase the level of navigation to the highest possible level of abstraction,
right,
that is not comfortable for either the driver or the navigator.
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. And I'd be interested in your opinion on this. And I've heard some say that it's best to, even if you know the driver is not at that high level of abstraction, but to start there and then come down, that way they know the why of what they're doing.
So the relationship works both ways, right?
Yeah.
So you might start really high, and then but you also, for somebody who's learning, like a driver who is new to programming, you might want to basically stay at their learning edge, right? And so essentially navigating just slightly higher than what they will. You don't want them to be totally overwhelmed. Like if they don't know what design patterns are and they've never heard the term design patterns, and saying, let's implement the strategy pattern, you're in for a half hour discussion, right? But you still want flow to happen to the mob.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you, as an experienced navigator working with an inexperienced driver, you want to stay right at the edge of their understanding. So you can do a 1 minute explanation and then move on, and they understand where to go.
Yeah.
And that takes skill and practice. And so you're going to be trying to constantly shift and find out where their skill level is. And then similarly for the driver, if you're a really experienced driver with an inexperienced navigator, that's a great opportunity to take in a concept that the navigator has put into the code and give a name to it. Say, hey, you just implemented the strategy pattern.
Yeah.
You must have learned that through sheer practice, but now we have something to key off of.
Definitely. Absolutely. And I think one other thing to add to the navigator is, doesn't mean you always have to be the originator of all the ideas. It's like, I'm in the navigator seat right now. I have to know exactly what to do. The pressure's on me to come up with it. And it's a great skill to take on almost a facilitation role for the rest of the mob and be like, hey, I was thinking about going down this path, but what are some options we have? And then you can solicit advice from the mob. And even if you know what to do, it's a good practice to make sure that everyone else is engaged and everyone's ideas are contributing as well. It doesn't have to necessarily mean you were the only one that comes up with it, and everyone else is going to be quiet waiting for you to, let's see if he comes up with the right solution, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else to add to the navigator?
I think that's pretty good for now. I think we've got a lot more to talk about in the rear admiral portion, but we'll come to that in a later episode.
Sounds great.
All right.
So Mabara's next one.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Okay, so this one is a little bit ambiguous from the name, and so I think, you know, we can clarify it a little bit. What have you learned about the mobber so far?
Yes, so it's someone who is a great citizen for the team, and so being a great listener and asking great questions are two things that come to mind. And so an engaged mob is a healthy mob that's going to make a great product. And so if you're not the driver or navigator in any of these other roles, it doesn't mean it's time to check out. It means to listen on the edge of your seat, I think is how Willem put it in the mob programming RPG game. And so, because really one of the great things, one of my favorite analogies about mob programming actually came from some other team that was mob programming. But when everyone is paying attention to the code, everyone's skill that they're good at gets put into the code. I had a friend of mine, he's like, everyone's shiny penny ends up in the code,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So if someone's really great at TDD and they're listening on the edge of their seat, they see an opportunity where, hey, here's a great refactoring, or here's a test we miss. Someone who's really good you know, doing math or working with the hardware, they'll be picking up on things that other people don't pick up on. And so just listen really, really well. Another one is to ask questions. And do you have any examples of good questions to ask?
Clarifying questions.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, a big thing is a mobber that is, so, you know, kind of organically over time, we've come up with this rule very based off of open space. If you're not learning and you're not contributing, go to a different mob. And so in a mob, if you're not the driver, not the navigator, then you have opportunities to think about some of these other things that we'll talk about later. But you also have this option of helping the navigator out is one of them by asking clarifying questions. And
yeah.
So this can most easily be relatable to like a form of the, you know, a non-aggressive version of the Socratic method. And and so you may end up saying like, okay, well, I think they understand this, but I think the driver and the navigator understand this, but maybe they're not thinking about this one thing. And so you might ask a clarifying question of well, what if we enter this input, what will happen?
Right.
That can just be a way of extracting or elevating the understanding of the entire group. You could also have, if you have four people, you have driver, navigator, two mobbers, that might be a situation where you may know that somebody hasn't seen this portion of the code before, and you might ask clarifying questions that the navigator can then describe for the direction that they're going in. So these are really great ways of just kind of baselining everyone and actively listening to the direction that they're going and then asking the clarifying questions of those in that space.
Right on. I think that covers it.
All right.
All right, so the next episode we'll be covering many other awesome roles. So the archivist, the sponsor, the researcher, navigate the navigator, automationist, nose, and even another new one.
Yeah.
What is the new one called?
The process cop, I think.
The
process police. Yeah.
So it's evolving as we go. And yeah. So thanks for tuning in to the Mob Mentality Show, and check us out next time for more on mob programming roles.
See you later.
See ya.